Welcome back to the Slice On Podcast. This is episode 19, where we react to real-world events. We're going to be reacting to some content, and this is going to be a great episode. First up is DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. I would never have seen this happen. I mean, this is a new development, and I just want to hear your opinion on it.
So, explaining DOGE, can you explain it to us real quick? Because you probably have a better explanation of what it is. I know it is posted, or it was put in place by Donald Trump, and they are the two main guys running it will be Elon Musk and Vivek Viraswamy. I can't say his last name, but yeah. I'm assuming, from what I have understood, it is they're cutting down all the fat in the government of things that we spend money on, and they'll be cutting it to save money for the budget.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, this is every president's dream to cut down the bureaucracy. I just want to see them actually do it. I mean, you can say you can promise everything. You just have to keep your promise. I mean, if you cut down that much of government, you're going to have to pay the price if you don't have that efficiency back in play, because you need people for a reason. If you cut down that much people, I want to see the government run at that low level of efficiency in that amount of resources that they put in. So you have to put behind you have to back up what you're going to say, and you have to take care of the actual government whenever you reduce that amount of people.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I definitely also, I mean, there's a lot when you go into actual government finance of how much we spend on certain things, and there you can do your own research, but you'll find things that we're paying for or money that's going towards other things. You're like, why are we putting money towards this? Or why? How did money get to this, allocated towards this? And I think we're going to see a lot of cuts to certain, I mean, seriously, go look it up. The amount of things that, like, we should not be spending money on. You're like, oh, man, I'm glad we're cutting that. Oh, I'm glad we're not spending $300,000 on this and $400,000. Like, we're going to see a lot of good cuts. And I hope, like you said, they gotta stick to their word and actually cut on the government spending on things that we don't really need, that were unnecessary spending. I think that's the main thing. There's a lot of unnecessary spending, and that's what they're going to do, is cut that down. Get all the fat trimmed off of the United States.
Yeah, and I hope to see taxes decrease because of that. If you trim all that fat, government should be spending less, and citizens shouldn't be having to pay so much. My parents' income tax is about 1/5 of their whole paycheck. I mean, I'd like to see that decrease and have more money to us. And that will happen if they do what they say. I mean, you see all that money going to other countries that are not for us. If we have that money back in the United States, pay off our debt like they say they will, we will get lower taxes, and I'd like to see that.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on?
Next thing is the SpaceX. Wow. There's a new development. They just reached the spaceship at that stranded spaceship with two people on it, and I just find it amazing what Elon Musk did. He took that project, and it was a project that should have went to NASA, actually, but SpaceX, if you're going to do a astronomical project, go to SpaceX nowadays, because they will do it in top quality. No other company in the world can do what they do, and I just find that amazing today.
So can you explain this? I don't know the story that well. So I'm assuming there's two astronauts stuck in space, and NASA can't get them down, but why can't NASA get them down?
It was just failed launches by Boeing. Like, one of their aircrafts, it was not going to go up, and they had very bad testing. Like, their contracts went into shambles. SpaceX will never do that. They have that backing in their programs. They have everything. They make all the checks. They make sure that anybody that goes up will come back down. And you've seen that past development when they have those two chopsticks. Yeah. And they have that big spaceship. I mean, other people can put it in better words, but this is the best way to do it. And I think this is very good for the astronomical future that we have. I mean, we're going to go to Mars in another six years. And I think that's very, very cool.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. But
it's on its website. If you go to SpaceX, it's 2030, the date.
The first human on Mars. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take them years to get there already. So, I mean, yeah. But anyway, talking about Boeing, though, real quick. I mean, I do not trust that company at all. They have some shady, shady pasts of, like, with, like, I think that conspiracy of, like, the guy mysteriously died. you know, right before he testified in front of Boeing or something like that. I think that's sketchy as hell. Like, if someone dies before they testify, I will always find that to be a conspiracy. Mm. So,
yeah.
Next topic.
So. Next topic is the TikTok episode. You got this one.
All right. So, before we get into this, me and Lucci, this kind of sucks, but we were going to post the videos that we found on TikTok and kind of, like, review them. But we're so new at this, and we're unsure if the content would get, like, copyright striked or taken down because we don't want the other person to get mad that we were, like, basically, like, giving our opinions on the content. And we know people like Brett Cooper and, like, Isabel Brown and maybe, like, Candace Owens, they all do this kind of content, right? But they're a big company, and they can kind of take the hit or figure this out more. We're, you know, a small group, and we don't want to take that risk yet. I'm going to get in contact with one of my guys, see what he says, and who's been in the media, and see if we can actually start to show you all the content. But I will explain to you what the situation is, and we'll kind of give our opinions on it.
Yep.
All right, so the first TikTok that we were watching, it was this African-American that voted for Donald Trump, but his whole family, like, disowned him. His cousins, his family, his father, and it's just the trend that I've been talking about in the election of that, like, this is should be unacceptable, like, behavior. Like, this should not be, like, tolerated. People need to be better than this, that, like, we as a nation, like, talk about, like, the left talking about coming from love and tolerance. Like, even if my own daughter or son voted opposite than what I did, I would still love them. I'd still want to talk to them. And I talked about this with you. Even if, as a Christian, if my son was gay or trans, I still have the loving heart to love them as a human being. Like, I will not see them. Of course, they are a different person now and different than what I am. And would I be upset? Yes, I would, because it's just we have different values. But would I still love them? Yes, I would still love them. I would still want to talk to them. I still want to have a relationship with them. I would not want to cut them off. And I think that's important in our society that we don't, you know, separate. Family is very important. Our relationships, our children are important. So I would not want to lose them personally. And I think it's really sad to see when people cut each other off over their beliefs or how someone lives personally.
Yeah, politics should never separate a family. That's the one thing that I'd never do with anybody that's close to me. Even if we may disagree, I have many friends that are liberal, and I don't talk politics with them because I know that will separate us. So we talk about other things and we hang out that way. That's the way one thing I do to hang out with them. If we do talk politics, we talk respectfully and we disagree on things. We always do, but we in the end, we know that we're still brothers, and at the end of the day, we're going to be brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And at the day when we go to heaven,
yeah,
politics on earth don't matter.
True, and that is 100%.
If those families that divide, they're going to be divided into heaven, and then at judgment day, who's going to ask them what happened on earth? I mean, God will ask you that on that day.
I mean, like God says, you know, do not judge, like, or, you know, others for their, like, their beliefs. I'm kind of, like, stuttering that, but it's true. You know, don't judge people as, like, oh, man, I'm really stuttering this. But, like, you know that story of God when he goes up and he says, you can throw a stone at me for those who have not sinned before. And I'm not saying that, like, perfectly, but it's true in the Bible when he said that. Like, yeah. I totally agree with that, that, like, we should not throw the first stone if we've already committed sin ourselves. So who are we to judge?
Exactly. And, like, there's so many different perspectives out there. People are coming from very different backgrounds. How can my background be superior to yours? And I always think about that. I mean, someone in India, they had so different background than us living in the US, and their values will be very different. They're very family-oriented, dependent on each other. People here, we're independent, we're individualistic, we have very different ideas. People that live in California, they're more liberal, they have different ideas, and they had different upbringings. I mean, it's not bad.
I mean, I totally agree with you. Yeah, like, I think you're right. Like, I think about this all the time. I don't judge people for voting for Kamala Harris, just as I don't judge people for voting for independence or for Trump. Everyone grew up differently. Everyone has their own life experiences and reasonings for why they voted for that person. Everybody, as we talk about being, like, individualistic, everyone has their own reasoning for why they voted for a certain person, you know? And I don't think we should judge people for why they voted. Everybody has a different life experience, grew up differently, grew up with different values, has different faiths, you know? everybody in every in America, we have our own right to pick who we want to vote. So I think it's fine if my even you like if you had a different opinion, that it's fine that you voted so different than I did. We can still be friends. And like at the end of the day, I have work friends. I mean, we talk about politics, and I know I don't agree with everybody there, but the best thing I've learned from them is that we can actually have really, really deep conversations and like discuss the politics without like getting frustrated or mad or like butthurt about like having different opinions. It's awesome. That's one probably one of the best things and best life experiences I've had at work is like actually being able to discuss things with people that I'm just work friends with. We're not like best friends or anything, but we can still get along. We don't go into work like hating each other or being mad at each other. It's all we're all friends, like at work friends, you know. I love that.
I feel like that's the best way to make change too, like making deep discussions. Even though you don't disagree, if you don't agree, you just find the places where you disagree and talk to them, focus on it, and then find that common ground. I mean, I've found so many people I disagree with. There's one person in my biology class, we talk about politics all the time. He's more left-leaning, but I can agree on him on many issues, such as the environment. I mean, we have to
protect
the environment. And he makes a good point. Like, we're not on the progress... And we're not in the right direction to saving our environment. We're going into a bigger increase into global emissions, and I agree. But the way that we do it is where we disagree. He wants to go to fully wind energy, solar energy, and I don't think that's the best way. That's just going to go into more of using wasting resources because those are very variable in time, and we disagree on that.
I think hybrid method for those, like a mix of both, you know, kind of like what we're doing right now, but and then eventually slowly you can implement two more renewable, but it's just a slow process, you know, personally.
Yeah, but we disagree on that. I think nuclear energy is a good
possibility too.
But he doesn't, because he says he's scared of it, and he doesn't think that it's very, very scary. It could be another Chernobyl or something. I think if we control it, we regulate it and make it very safe, and we do fusion instead of fission, I think it would be very, very promising.
Kind of like you said, like, but there's only been one Chernobyl. I mean, there was one in New York, but it didn't happen, right? The nuclear thing didn't happen. But you can look it up. There was a kind of a similar situation, just didn't turn into Chernobyl. But, like, if you think about it, like the Titanic, there was one major cruise liner that everybody remembers that sunk, just like Chernobyl. One major one. But you see every other cruise liner that crashed? No. It doesn't happen often at all. Like, the chances of that happening are so little that those, like, a cruise just, you know, sinks to the bottom of the ocean. So I think about it the same way. Like, you can have all those nuclear what are they called? Nuclear power plants, and the likelihood of that happening, I think, is slim, very slim.
So, especially with technology today, we can control it, we can regulate it, we can make it very good.
We have better safety precautions than we did when that when Chernobyl happened, so for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, we disagree and we talk about it, we find common ground, and that's the way to go. I mean, that's a very good thing. And going back to that person, I my heart's with him, and I just hope that he gets back with his family. And that's my only wish, because family is one thing that I think is valuable. My parents, if we divide on an issue, we still unite together as a family, because we love each other, and love is at the center of it.
All right.
Next TikTok, break it down.
All right, so
it's about one? The what's it called, the epidemic with young men today.
So the epidemic with young men, we've talked about this on episodes before, but so in the video, the TikTok that it goes in, I'll go in depth, I'll keep it real short, but so he goes into saying that that if you look at like the DNC and everyone that they're trying to help, they have women, they have Latinos, they have, you know, LGBT, they have all these different groups of people, and there's every group except one, and it's young men. They cater to every group except young men, and so we look at why is, like, every group is being helped. You're going to help all these other groups, like 76% of all these groups, and then that 24%, which is young men, is nowhere to be found on the DNC. They will help every other group except young men, which young men are struggling the most, as we saw, like, 3/4 of homeless people are men. Most people that kill themselves are men. Who are the people who need, like, a lot of help, actually? Young men, or just men in general. And I think that's what the TikTok was trying to say, is that men need help more than ever. We're at this time period where I think a lot of people think that men are fine, men can figure it out themselves, and I want to say, like, I wish that was true. I wish men had it all figured out, but it's not true. And I think men do need help more than ever. There's a lot of men that are lost out there that really could just, that need help.
Exactly. I know that the main problem with men today is porn. That's
porn,
the one thing.
I want to say loneliness.
Yeah.
Not having someone to actually talk to people about, you know, like, and we talk about that men can't, like, express their emotions or, you know, open up. And I think that's because we've been, you know, the stereotype is that men always have to always have to be seen as strong, and there's never a time to open up. And I think we kind of have to change that with, like, our mental, with how, like, mentally draining the days can be nowadays. I think it's good to have somebody to open up to, either whether it's your wife or your best bro, you know, someone who can actually relate and you can, like, express that and get it all out instead of just bottling it up for years and years and years.
Yeah, I totally agree. The thing I saw in high school was, like, you have all these popular kids, you have all these big men, you have all these cool guys. The one common theme is that they all wanted to seem cool, they wanted to bottle in their emotions. And I was one of them. I didn't want to show any weakness. I wanted to be part of the
cool. Yeah, show that confidence, yeah, 100% confidence all the time.
And really, that didn't help me in high school. I didn't have the one thing that I needed. I needed to confide in someone. I had have a group of guys around me. And I found that in college. I mean, I love talking to people now more and opening up and opening some insecurities as well. I mean, I have some, but also discussing as a group of guys. And I think that's very nice to see. Talking about the DNC, I just don't understand. I don't understand why they would leave out young men. I mean, we're a very good part of America, and we're very important for the future. I mean, young men.
I mean, men essentially women, kind of run the country, yeah, especially now with a lot of the jobs. So I don't understand why you would leave that. But also, I mean, that's why I think the Republican Party took them in more, because they did not, you know, uninclude them. They included them. And they got, that's why Trump had such a huge voter turnout with young people, but especially young men. He really got that turnout out because he really included them in his, you know, campaigning.
Yeah, and young men are the part of the future of America. That's almost half the demographic of people that are coming. And when I think about the future of young men, I don't want it to go into pushing them down to making them think that they are weak. And I think that's a part of the culture today. Men are weak. Whenever I was in high school, I felt that I had to make it known that I was strong, because in the culture of today, it's felt as men are weak. And you can see that as the uprising of a feminist movement saying that men are toxic and they are in, they're toxic and masculine, and that will play into the role of men are being very bad for society. And I think that culture is what is playing into the role of bringing down young men, and that's why the Democratic Party is, like, against young men.
And I'm not saying that men don't need to be strong. We definitely need strong men. We actually have a less strong man. But I'm saying there are needs to be times where men probably should express themselves to somebody, needs to talk it out to somebody. They cannot keep this with them all their lives, not talk about, you know, what they've been going through, you know, all by themselves. I think it definitely hurts. And I think that's why you see a lot of, like, school shootings being men, because they have, you know, mental issues. I think not being able to express yourself can cause, like, mental issues. And we see that. And that's why I think, like, we have, like I just said, school shootings, you know, murders, you know, from, because most murders, shootings, they all happen from men because, you know, either bad family life. But I think a lot of it can come down from mental issues personally. Like, I think that's a big factor.
Yeah.
There's a lot to go into that. I hope we can eventually do an episode on, like, men's mental health and, like, where it can lead. And I think there's a lot of different things we can talk about with that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The last two topics. The first one we want to go into is Abbott's decision to freeze tuition. So this past week, he made it a mandate, or, like, a agreement with the colleges to freeze tuition in our state of the Texas. And I just think that this is very good for Texas students, because we've, as college students, we have the highest rates of tuition nowadays, and just stopping it for a little bit, taking it into control, I think this will be a better thing for the future of Texas students, because we're just taking a step back and freezing this and then seeing if we can stop this rate of inflation inside tuition.
Yeah, I ask you, like, I have more of the concern look of, like, what happens once it unfreezes? Do you think it's going to spike straight up?
I honestly don't know. I mean, the way I think about it is that we stop it now and we think about how we can mitigate it in the future. It was just increasing so much. My first semester, I paid about, let's see, $6,348. I believe that's the number. And then the next semester was about 7,000 something. So it's a big increase, and it's so big in terms of the amount of inflation compared to any other price in the nation, and it hasn't seen a decrease in ever. I mean, you look at any other price, they've had decreases. College prices, they've always increased because they're expanding colleges, they're making new basketball teams, football teams, they're making more buildings, they're always building up. And it's a expenditure on the student that I don't think is necessary. I don't think you need to have that much money going into a college, especially because this education hasn't changed as much. I would like to see it decrease to the actual amount that you spend per amount of education that you have. I mean, I would say that education increased about 50% in the past 10 years. The cost shouldn't increase about 150%. And that's just where I'm coming from. I just want to see better one-to-one ratio of prices.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just worried about, like, afterwards it's going to spike up. I would like to see, like, if Abbott made it to where it wasn't 2 years and he said it's going to be like this for the next 10 years, I would really expect the colleges to really re-find a way to, like, how they're going to distribute the money between all of their, you know, academics, their school, the school, you know, and, like, sports and everything, how they would, like, distribute all of that more because they'd have less money overall, right? And so I'm just curious to see how that all goes. I know 2 years it's sort of long, but...
Four semesters. It's not long, but we have some time to think about it.
Yeah, so I'd say this as, like, kind of an experience. See how it goes, and then we'll see if it actually benefits or if it's really going to, you know, hit us in the back hard when the tuition hits four times as much. So... we also saw that, funny enough, this Texas, University, State of Texas, UT, you know, they just made it to where families who make under $100,000 can send their kids there, with no charge. Now, of course, I think from looking at it, they're going to still have to, like, get accepted into the college, but if they get accepted and everything, they will not have to pay anything. Which, yeah. I think is a good thing. Like, if we think of, like, a single mother who's got maybe three kids and she's divorced and she can't get her kids to college, you know, and let's say they do really, really well, they're really smart, they'll be able to get in for free. And I think that's really good. Like, I think that I'm glad that UT's doing that. So
yeah, I'm glad too. I mean, that would be a heartwarming story when one kid from the lowest of lows can get into a college based on merit and get that scholarship and then get to the highest ranks of society.
Yeah, I definitely hope to see, like, more colleges maybe doing something more like this, so that way it's not just UT, and that way there's even more opportunities for these people who don't have as much money to possibly get in.
Yeah, I definitely,
especially even without, like, a scholarship. I mean, this just seems like, you know, I mean, it didn't say anything about scholarships, so I mean, because otherwise, you know, you really had to get, like, a full ride scholarship with sports or with something to get, not have to pay anything. So
The last thing I would like to look at is the chicken soup soul.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about when you wrote this, so you're really going to have to tell me what this is.
Yeah, so this is a little thing I like to analyze. I mean, I read the chicken soup stories, and they're really nice, and I just wanted to bring this on the podcast. I think this is something new. So the story goes like this. There was a young boy who had a mother about the age of 48, and he was about age 15. He was almost to college, and his mother was very, very poor, and they were in a small rural town neighborhood next to a city that you could drive all the way, almost like a 20-minute drive, and they had a small Toyota Camry car that could make that trip almost every day. Mm-hmm. And that trip was the one thing that separated them two, because he had to go to school in that local rural town school, and she had to go to the city to work. Mm-hmm. So she had health problems because she was a single mother, and she never had that willpower to go to a doctor because she didn't have money. Mm-hmm. And she went to the city every day, and she told her son, I'm going to the city to work, and I have this best job. I'm going to send you to college, and we're going to make you one of the best doctors in America. We're going to make you one of the best in America. And she gave him that vision to go and get his highest achievements. And she went to the city, and she worked. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell him what his job was. So when she went to the city, she went, and she was... I'll give it to you. She's the poorest of the poor. She mm-hmm. couldn't find any job, and she was begging for money every single day in that city. And so she had this idea. Maybe I can go and pick up these little bottles, on the street, like those bottles that you can take, like everyday water bottles, Ozark. And they have this thing on the wrapper saying, hey, this is like a 5 cents. You can turn it in for 5 cents.
Yeah, sadly, they don't really do that much in America. But in Europe, you can exchange them for money. Yeah.
She got all of these. So she started picking up bottles over those past 3 years and collecting them. And she took them into her cans and put them in their backyard where her son couldn't see them. Obviously, I don't know how the son couldn't see them, but he didn't. And then 3 years later, her son was like, oh, yes, I'm going to go to college. I'm ready. And his mother's like, son, I don't have the money to send you to college. I'm sorry. I just have these bottles in the back that I collected. And he's like, oh, my. Mom, you told me I'm going to be the best doctor in the world. What are you doing? And she said, I was going to turn these bottles in for you to make your tuition for college. And these bottles are worth nothing. Yeah. And he was like, Mom, what are we going to do?
And the story's got some negligence about this son.
And the son was like, Mom, I'll do something for you. Let me see what I can do. He went to that city. He found the people that were looking around at this young mom. Because this lady, she went to the stores, all the stores in the city, asking for bottles, and people knew her situation. They saw her with those bottles. They felt so sad. They asked her always, hey, can I help you out? And she said, no, I'm doing this for my son. I'm doing this for my son. She would not give up her pride. And she told those people, hey, I want to do this for my son. Could you please give me your bottles? And they gave the bottles. And the son went to those stores and said, hey, do you know my mom? And she said, yes, that's her. I mean, we're the poorest of the poor. Could you lend a help? And all those stores, they chipped in to send that kid to college, full ride for all 4 years and all of medical school. And he became one of the best doctors in the nation. And he came back to that rural town to serve his community and gave back to his mom, who was there and lived happily ever after.
Is this a true story?
Yeah, I read it. It's in one of those Chicken Soup of the Soul books.
I've never heard of this. I mean, there's definitely some negligence in the son for not knowing, like, his mom didn't have a job, but she was going to the city picking up bottles. But I don't even know how they lived in their own house if he doesn't have a job. Like, are they homeless? Like, how? I don't want to know, like, what was going through that son's head. But I know it's a story, but it's supposedly true, as you said. So I don't know. I just have some questions. But
well, you it's up to you for the details. You can fill them in whatever you want. You can fill them in, but that's the end result. And he lived happily ever after. I mean, he's a good man.
Again, it's a story. Happily ever after. Like, I mean, that's good. I mean, I think people should work hard. I mean, I'll take a little things from that story. Like, I think the mom should have really looked really, really hard for a job. I mean, I'm glad that those people from the community really saw what her mom was doing and what she was trying to do, and that they all pitched in. I wish we could have more like community stuff like that. But yeah,
I think that was a great story. I mean, this was a reactionary episode, and yeah, I think this was a good one.
Yeah, it was a little bit shorter. I mean, for someone that's going to, you know, do a quick car ride, I think this is great for you. You got a quick 30-minute story of topics. Again, we're sorry that there won't be any posts for the YouTube side of things where you're actually going to get to see what we were looking at or what the TikToks that we saw, and we're sorry about that, but we're going to definitely try and figure out if we can eventually get the videos out there for us so that way we do not get copyright strike. But once we figure all that out, it'll be all out there. So for now, we're just gonna have to really give you great details on the stories and everything that we tell from TikTok. But
this is a very good time to be in. I think this is we're about to hit episode 20.
I know.
This is a almost good milestone. I mean, if you think about it, we have about 25 episodes because we have Nuts and Bolts, if you haven't checked those out. That's where we talk about our daily lives and see how we react to lives in college, lives with girlfriends, lives with me trying to find a girlfriend, and other things.
Actually, like, got some updating to do with his situation. So
yeah, for sure. And yeah, this is a very good journey, and I'm excited to be on it. We have the food episodes coming up. It's going to be a very exciting winter season. We're going to have about 4 more episodes up until the January 1st, 2025. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah. Make sure to check us out on YouTube, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and all our social medias like TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You know, for you to find us almost anywhere you want, just make sure to check us out there. We got plenty of content for you in 30-second clip forms that we've made. So really check that out. I'd really appreciate it. That would really help us out. So without further ado, Lucci, send us off.
Well, this is the Sights On podcast with Luciano and Alex. This is Sights On, signing off.